Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. We are here at the Governor's Conference on Tourism. This is an annual event, and we got a whole host of folks that are attending the show, and we're going to be talking to a lot of them over the next 2 hours. Before we get going, though, our tradition is for my co-host, Tim Vimmerstedt, to talk a little bit about his two or maybe three favorite events going on this weekend. Timmy, can you go ahead and let us know?
Sure, Tommy. Good morning. It's good to see you, brother.
Good to see you.
Well, we have night ops at Pima Air and Space Museum, a summer evening program. It used to be called Night Wings. It's the full Pima Air and Space Museum facility, the Tucson Military Vehicle Museum, and the 390th Museum. So it's a great night of getting out in the cooler weather. It's always beautiful out there during the summer nights. And that's taking place on July 26th. They're actually, on that night, you'll be able to go into the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital and tour that, and it's all included in one price. And the 390th, you can see their restored B-17. It's actually kind of funny that B-17, I'll Be Around, was his nose art. I have a picture of me out there when I was 13 in front of that. And then we have cool summer nights going on at the Desert Museum every Saturday through the end of August. And just a great way to experience the desert. And the animals are much smarter than we are. They all get very active at night during the summer. So it's a great way to learn about our surrounding area. And highly recommend you go to thisistucson.com and visit Tucson.org to learn more about these events and other great events going on in our community.
Well, thank you, Tim. I could probably share a few stories about how active you got at night, but we probably shouldn't do that on the radio. So.
Well, I'm open.
Nobody would appreciate it. So as I mentioned, we are live here in Scottsdale, Arizona for the Governor's Conference on Tourism. That's the Arizona Conference on Tourism. And we have a really special guest today who made a lot of arrangements for the over 500 or so that are here learning more about tourism and what the state is doing to bring in thousands and thousands, actually millions and millions of people. My special guest is Josh Connington, and he's the Director of Communications. Well, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
It's a great day. But we're going to get real close here to you. And I remember you mentioned that you were also engaged with the Commerce Department. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Tom. And it's really an exciting time of year for us to have this great conference here that we get to do every year, because it brings people from across Arizona's tourism industry together to connect and to plan for the future and to celebrate our successes. So we're really excited about that. As for my personal story, fortunately, I got in economic development in Arizona through the Commerce Authority previous role, which really showed me how Arizona does economic development and how it is critical to our success as a state. And then I learned about tourism and how great and fun is and how much people love it. And so I had an opportunity to come to Arizona Office of Tourism in 2019. And I took that opportunity and I've been here ever since. And I really love promoting Arizona.
And tourism, for sure. You want to make sure that you go to this conference, because you not only get to know who the AOT staff is, which is important, because, and there's a lot of functions that take place within the Arizona Office of Tourism. Can you tell us a little bit about the kinds of folks and their jobs working at the Arizona Office of Tourism?
So we have a great job at the Arizona Office of Tourism, which is the very obvious thing we get to do is we get to promote Arizona to a very large audience. So that includes to Arizonans, encouraging them to travel throughout the state. Also, we reach out nationwide to encourage people in different states and cities to visit Arizona. And then even internationally, also to countries such as the UK, Germany, France, wide audience that we reach. And so there's people like me who do talking to the media here locally. And then there's people on our team that reach out nationwide and worldwide to promote Arizona.
Well, I remember back several years ago, you reintroduced the program where you had a representative at our key travel country. And it's kind of like boots on the ground with these folks because they know the media, they know all the political context. And I thought that was a really good policy, I guess, reintroduction. And we had, you guys did a little get together at the Omni in Tucson, and we got a chance to meet all of them. And that was really a kind of a nice way to understand that our DMO is getting very engaged in inviting folks from the country. So can you tell us, you know, where are the people coming from that are coming and enjoying Arizona?
So that's really a great question. And the first thing, the first place that people come from to enjoy Arizona is Arizonans themselves traveling throughout the state. And so that's a great group that we get to talk to, is encouraging people to be a tourist in their own state. And then in addition to that, for states, we have California and Texas and Florida, of course, are huge states for us. Illinois, Chicago, a lot of people, of course, come here from there. And then really kind of the fun ones are the international destinations. Our number one international destination by far is Mexico, of course. We have a great number of travelers that come to us from Mexico. Usually it numbers in a few millions each year. And then after Mexico, it's Canada. And of course, we love our Canadian. We want them to come visit us more often. So Canada is next to mine. And then you have the overseas destinations. So that includes the UK and Germany and France. Like, for instance, German visitors love Route 66. So we're really excited about having them come because the Route 66 Centennial is coming up next year. And so we've got a lot of great stuff planned for that. But we really have a great group of people that visit Arizona and that we work to reach out to make sure that they know that we want them to be here.
Heard it. That international travel is on its way back to Arizona.
Yeah, absolutely. That's since the pandemic and coming out of the pandemic, the international travel segment is one of the ones that we've worked the hardest to bring back. And it's not just for Arizona, but for all states. Really, because, you know, that's just been the slowest part of the industry to recover. There's domestic travel, and then there's group and convention travel, and then there's international visitors. And so all of us, really, all states are working hard to bring those international travelers back. And we work real hard here in Arizona to make sure that our international travelers know that we want them here. We have some great things, probably things that they haven't done in a while. So even if they have visited us before, they should definitely plan to come back and visit us again.
A while back, and I think it may have been during COVID,
that this redefined organization. I think prior to this new policy, there were some key partners. Visit Tucson, of course, was one of them that did all of Southern Arizona, and Visit Flagstaff and Visit Phoenix. But there was if I recall correctly, your former president, CEO, or chair, or what did you call Debbie back then? Was she the head of AOT? Okay, I was looking for that keyword. Thank you. But anyway, there was this wonderful grant that came available for all the region for really kickstarting tourism in Arizona, or a city that was already promoting but wasn't recognized as a destination marketing organization. And if I recall correctly, the criteria was that you had to have your municipality to approve it and what have you. And, you know, so as a result of that, there were a lot of smaller rural cities that they had a designated DMO, which really meant that your partnership increased. Mm-hmm. And
that's one of the things that's outstanding about the Arizona Office of Tourism is all these DMOs are your partners, and they help you promote their region. A lot of people don't really realize that Arizona is more than just Sonoran Desert. There's a lot more to that, isn't there?
That program that you're mentioning, one that the co-op.
No.
Okay.
We're going to go to our first break.
Okay.
Okay. So this is the Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and we'll be right back. All right. Well, we're back. Okay. I apologize for the little bit delay there. We are live. And as you know, when you're live, everything doesn't always work. So we're here as a special guest today, and Josh and Coddington. Now, he's a director of communications for the Arizona Office of Tourism. And we're at the Governor's Conference on Tourism. You know what annual are we? Do you know? We're the Decades Annual Conference of Tourism. And we're in Scottsdale, and lots of workshops, just getting to know the Arizona Office of Tourism, and then of course reacquainting yourself with all the DMOs and all the folks that their number one job is to promote tourism, promote visitation to Arizona, and that's what's exciting. We understand that. While we're here, we need to make sure we visit the local restaurants and drinking establishments, I guess would be. We saw speakeasy, but that was a long time ago. We have in the wings Nikki, and it's Turleski, she's way in the background, so you can't hear her right now. But just one more thing before we bring on Nikki is that you were talking about the promotion. So why don't you go ahead and continue to talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So thinking about is the AOT co-op program, which is a great way that we have to help all of our partners throughout the state in promoting tourism in their community. And so it's a matching funds program where we match what a particular city or town puts in the pot, and that can be used for a wide variety of tourism promotional items. And we do it that way so each town can kind of have a choice of what will help them promote tourism in their place most effectively in a given year. And it's a great program. We have over 30 destinations across Arizona that
we participate in that program, as well as many others here. We promote, Visit Tucson promotes more than just Tucson. It promotes Southern Arizona. And we being the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, there are associations with the Southern Arizona Attractions throughout the state. So we've actually become more of statewide attractions group. When Florida Attractions Alliance started, they started regionally, and then it slowly grew. And that's exactly what we're doing, working with AOT. We have several attractions now that are members located throughout the state of Arizona, Flagstaff, Yuma, Phoenix. And every month, it seems like every month we have a new attraction that comes on. And our job is to promote the state, okay? Yeah. And while you're at the state, we want to make sure you visit Northern Arizona, you know, Grand Canyon, of course, and all the other attractions. And in Phoenix, I love the musical. How do you say that one?
The musical.
Yeah, thank you for the. Yeah, isn't that the greatest museum? I've never seen anything like that.
You have to speak a little bit higher.
Yeah, it's great. And then there's a lot of others. Arizona Historical Society has quite two or three attractions now, and Yuma has historical heritage. So Josh, I want to thank you very much because we want to hear a little bit about Route 66. And so Nikki, come on over and we'll see you in a little bit. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
Okay. So we have Nikki Terlisky coming on. She's a director of operations for the Historic Route 66 Association of Arizona. And if you know about Route 66, did it go all the way east to west? But you're having a celebration, and we'd like you to tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Route 66.
In 2026, Route 66 is turning 100. So there will be celebrations across the country in all 8 states to celebrate. Here in Arizona, we are kicking off November 15th. We are having a night at the Route 66 Museum in Kingman, Arizona. There is a museum there that is doing an overhaul for the centennial, and we'll do a ribbon cutting. It'll kind of be a speakeasy style, live music, casino games, think Great Gatsby. So that is when we are starting our celebration. But celebrations will continue all year through 2026. We're encouraging visitors to come whenever they're available, not for a special event, although Route 66 has many annual events that are a ton of fun. We have the Route 66 Fun Run. That's in May. 800 classic cars drive Route 66 from Seligman to Topop, which is the longest remaining stretch of Route 66. The Standing on the Corner Festival in Slow. Williams and Flagstaff have some really neat classic car shows. So that's how we'll be celebrating.
We can't hear you, Tom.
What's going on city-wise, where Route 66 goes through. Go ahead and tell us about that.
So in Arizona, we like to go west. So Route 66 goes through Topok, Oatman, Cool Springs, Kingman, Hackberry, Valentine, Peach Springs, Seligman, Williams, Ashfork, Flagstaff, Winslow, Holbrook. I hope I got them all.
So when you go through these cities, you're like going back in time, aren't you?
Yes. A trip on Route 66 is very much in a different time. It's very nostalgic. You have milkshakes, neon signs, rusty old cars. It really is back to a different era, which is really fun. And I think why Americans as well as internationals just love Route 66.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite part is going to Flagstaff. And there's a bunch of and I mean, I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and so my parents used to, you know, take us on trips, and there wasn't any interstates back then, so obviously Route 66 was where we went and enjoyed, and it almost went away, didn't it?
Yes. Route 66 was decommissioned. Actually, Williams was the very city. And a gentleman by the name of Angel Delgadillo rallied business owners from Seligman to Topak to come together and really market Route 66 as a destination. They were the first ones to consider doing this. They actually asked the governor of Arizona to designate 66 as a historic highway. Highway signs actually were taken down from Route 66, so you didn't really know where you were. Seligman, Arizona, when they were bypassed, died. They went from having thousands of cars drive by their businesses to having nobody. There is actually a famous photo of Angel and his brother Juan, and they are sitting in lawn chairs on Route 66 because nobody was coming through. So they rallied the governor, and Rose Mofford was the governor at the time. She designated Route 66 as a historic highway. And that was really the start of the rebirth of Route 66, which trickled to all other states that Route 66 goes through. And really, because of that group of people, we are gearing up to celebrate 100 years of Route 66.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I want to thank you for spending just a brief moment of your time here.
We can't hear you guys.
All right, I'll make sure to get a lot of pictures of the booth, and we appreciate you coming to our makeshift studio. You have a good time here in the next couple of days, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, well, this is the Morning Voice here, and we're live from the Governor's Conference on Tourism, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and I'm on every Thursday. And we talked about tourism.
Yeah. Well, we're back, and my name is Tom Moulton, and I'm your host for The Morning Voice. I'm here every Thursday on KVOI at 10:30 a.m., and we're also on YouTube and Facebook now. And so thank you all for listening in. We are live at the Governor's Conference on Tourism, and we were wondering if anybody knows that's in the room. Is this the 20th annual, the 30th annual? Does anybody know here? All right. So we decided that since we didn't know, we're the decades annual meeting here. And I have a really special guest today because she's like me. We traveled all the way up to Scottsdale from Tucson to be with all our friends at the Arizona Office of Tourism and all the other destinations here in town. And her name is Cindy Aguilar. Am I saying that right?
Aguilar, yeah.
Aguilar. Okay, I got to roll there.
Yeah.
But Cindy, how long have you been at Visit Tucson?
I will be at Visit Tucson next month. It'll be 12 years.
Wow.
Which is crazy that it's gone by so quickly.
I know. I mean, especially when they say the average time somebody spends at a job now is 5 years.
Yeah.
And I think Visit Tucson beats that. One of the neat things about working with Visit Tucson, the destination marketing organization, as we call the DMO of Southern Arizona, is that there are a lot of people that work there that have been there for a long time.
Yes.
And really know their jobs.
We're very passionate about our jobs, about Tucson. We love talking about Tucson and Southern Arizona. You know, it runs in our veins. So I think that's why a lot of employees have that longevity, because, you know, when you love what you do, it's not work, right?
Yeah, and you know, they're quick to say that what makes this organization work is the partners,
absolutely,
the folks that work with them. It's members,
yes.
It's business partners, and we are one of those. Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance was co-founded by Pat Tierney, who was the Felipe Garcia of Visit Tucson, and then it was called the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau,
or MTCVB for
yeah
sure.
And mouthful. so you know, the good thing is somebody saw the light and bought the website visittucson.org many years ago. And lo and behold, they, you know, I guess the powers to be said, you know what, people stumble, we're just going to be called Visit Tucson. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness that you had bought the website, because visittucson.com, I always wondered who the heck owns visittucson.com.
.org.
Now, well, you own.
Oh, you're talking about the .com.
The .com.
Okay.
And, you know, and I, every once in a while I go in there and I say, what's the value of, and I know you've been sort of over the, in the years trying to recover visittucson.com, but you've been visittucson.org for many, many years.
Yeah.
So everybody knows how to get hold of you.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's some really exciting things that have been happening in Tucson. It seems like every time I pick up a magazine, you know, that Tucson's being rated nationally or internationally as a really a great place to go and visit and spend your vacation. What are some of those recent designations that you're aware of?
Yeah, so, you know, Travel and Leisure included Tucson as a top 10 foodie destination. We've been in Afar magazine, in Travel and Leisure, Condé Nast, Fromers, the BBC. So this past year, the New York Times also a couple of times, which has been fabulous. But, you know, we are included in these lists of top destinations to visit in 2025. A lot of that really comes from Tucson's history and culture. We're a UNESCO City of Gastronomy, celebrating 10 years this year. We're also celebrating Tucson's 250-plus this August. So a lot of celebrating and a lot of ties to the community and the culture. And that's what people really want. They want to visit a destination and have a connection to the place.
Yeah, we're certainly rich in culture. And, of course, we have one of the oldest you know, a group of folks that were up there on A Mountain in that area. Was it 4,000 years ago?
Over 4,000 years. I heard it's probably closer to 5,000 years now. But yeah, that's at Mission Garden, which is the oldest continually cultivated land in North America and a place where people can visit and learn the history of gastronomy and really why we receive that designation.
Yeah, you can walk up Tumamoc Hill.
You can.
And you get to the top. You have to be very careful because you don't want to stoop down because people think you're picking up things that you're not supposed to take. So be very careful. Don't fall down. But really, you go up there and it's pretty steep.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kick your feet a little bit and you're fine. You know, Arrowhead, all kinds of things that are from those 4,000 years ago. So, and it's also a research that's going on up there as well by the U of A. And so it's a great place to go visit. And as a matter of fact, they called me the other day and had me update their information. So I need to share that with Hope or Lee and let them know that they updated some of their information on our web listing because they continue to want people to climb up the mountain. Now, I made it about halfway, you know, and then it rained.
Oh.
And so I had to turn around.
You had to turn around,
And I, so.
Turn around, but, don't drown.
That's very good. Yeah. Very good. Now, you're involved in everything pretty much in at the Visit Tucson. I think I understand you had dinner last night with your predecessor.
My predecessor,
predecessor.
Mary Rittman.
Yeah, and of course, she's a long time employee of Arizona Office of Tourism.
Yes.
Jamie, our next guest, you know. Yeah, you remember? Yeah, very much so. And I'm glad you get a chance to meet her.
Yeah,
she was pivotal 10 years ago when the Tucson City of Gastronomy got its official designation from UNESCO.
Yeah.
And I happened to be lucky at that time to be working at Pima County, and I got selected to be on the board. And I'm thinking that, you know, this would be a neat job to be a volunteer. We got to go to all of the finest restaurants and, you know, and that really didn't come true. What happened though was that I got a chance to meet all these restaurants to help them become a certified Tucson City of Gastronomy.
Yes.
And which means there was a lot of criteria. Certainly using native foods was a big one.
Yeah.
And the other one was community engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And how you treat your employees. You know, so it was a very well-rounded certification program. And on both of our websites, visit tucson.org and from tucsonattractions.com, as well as Explore Arizona Attractions, because we got two websites now, we talk about, I think it's close to, I want to say, it's over 50, because we keep adding these new certified
That's amazing.
Restaurants.
Yeah,
fabulous. Yeah, and of course, they're all locally owned. That's probably, if you're locally, not locally owned, then you can't have the certification.
People love visiting a locally owned restaurant, right? You can go to a chain in any city across America, but again, tying that into the experience of the place, you want to go to a locally owned restaurant, shop local, dine local, and support the community.
Yeah, even though Sam Fox is all over now, Arizona, and you know, all over really big parts of the U.S., he was born and raised in Tucson.
That's right. Yeah.
And you know, Wildflower.
Yes.
It was his first restaurant, and it's still there.
It is.
Okay, and so many other concepts that he has started. We actually were there last night for Mad Media and TripAdvisor dinner, and they also have one of those type of restaurants, and the old Grant Road Lumberyard.
Yes.
You know, yeah. So
Culinary Dropout.
That's right. Yes. And great food. One of the things I think Tucson is known for is its customer service, the way it cares for people when they come into town.
Absolutely.
You see that all the time.
I see it. Yeah. I hear it all the time from visitors saying, you know, oh, so-and-so was so nice. They were so gracious. Or I really felt a connection to them. And we really are a welcoming city. So we just, you know, we love having people come to our city and experience all that we have to offer.
Well, we're going to leave it there. And we really appreciate you stopping by because we know you're busy there on the convention floor. And the show starts at 8:00.
Yeah.
So I promised you would be able to get there on time.
Thank you, Tom.
So thank you so much for being
thank
with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, all right. Good luck on everything.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Well, this is the Morning Voice, and we are live from the Scottsdale at a beautiful JW Marriott, and we're experiencing the Governor's Conference on Tourism. And coming up, our next guest, you're going to really love this because this is truly partnership at work. And Jamie is going to be talking to us about the rural grant program that we are part of, is a Tucson's part of, and almost probably every DMO in the rural areas are engaged. So we'll be right back. This is the Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. Well, we're back, and this is the Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. And we're continuing this live presentation from the Governor's Conference on Tourism. And I have a very dear friend, Jamie Dare. And Jamie is, I guess you would say you're in charge of pretty much all the advertising. And, you know, so if you see the beautiful commercial about Arizona, Jamie probably had her fingers on it.
Well, ideally, if you're in the state, then you should not be seeing our advertising because you're not our target.
Well, yeah, but remember that statistic at 50% of the folks that come to Tucson are from the state of Arizona.
Well, yeah, 100%.
You know, so the message does get out.
It does.
Because
it's very targeted. So you're searching.
And we have such a diverse collection of things to do, from skiing and Flagstaff. Well, of course, we have a little bit of skiing occasionally in our Mount Lemmon, but from the wonderful lakes that we have. People don't think we have water.
Oh, no.
You know, and of course, the big granddaddy. Unfortunately, there's a fire, and yes. I hope it's getting much better now. But, you know, things happen, and the folks are really, our first responders are really hitting it hard. And it's always a shame when you have fires in your community. But there's a special program, Jamie, that you've been taking care of for many years. And how long have you been at the Arizona Office of Tourism?
11 years.
11 years. And we were talking about how long folks generally stay in tourism jobs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was surprising because I, when U.S. Airways merged with American, my job moved to Texas.
Oh.
I had three kids who were in high school, and they were like, are we moving to Texas? So I took the job, and I really just expected only to stay 2 years. And it's pretty amazing when you work in government and you understand how important it is what you do for the, you're using citizens' money, but also you're promoting the state, and you want to do it in a way that benefits everybody. So it almost, it's, we get a lot of people that stay a long time. We have a long longevity in our agency, like Visit Tucson, because it's really a labor of love.
So. It's not really what I call a job.
No, well, because, at times it's a very job.
Yeah, well, it's, there is some stress, right? You know,
right. It's fun.
But it is fun. And the thing is that that stress will go away the next day because you got a whole other thing, Absolutely. Other things you have to do. So tell us a little bit about the Rural Co-op program. It's been around for a while.
It has been around for a long time. And I'm sorry that I don't actually know how long because it predates me. But it was originally the Arizona Office of Tourism offered a grant program. And that was way back. And it was to help with DMO or tourism infrastructure. Well, that went away. I think it was probably around the time, probably 2008 with the...
Well, I remember we at Visit Tucson got $250,000. And it wasn't quite the Rural Co-op because that was the 50% off the magazines.
Right.
So they were generally magazines, but we also had another where we at Visit Tucson were able to produce a Southern Arizona visitor guide.
Right.
And then there was a recession or something like
yes.
that,
right.
that kind of, but the rural, hey, the rural group stayed.
Yeah,
and which is really good.
Yeah,
and so it's all these folks, DMOs and business partners, and so on, are able to work with you in a partnership relationship.
Right.
And all kinds of ways to promote your region.
Yeah. So essentially, what it is it is open to destination marketing organizations, DMOs as we call them, tribal nations, and statewide tourism associations. So that would be. An example would be the Dude Ranch, the Arizona Dude Ranch Association, which covers the entire state. So the intent of it was that we survey past and present participants. We have 44 this year, and we asked them a lot of questions about, you know, their need periods, what they're interested in, what the different markets they're in, a whole bunch of questions, and they were kind enough to answer them. And then we take all that information and we work with our agency of record off Madison Avenue on their media buyers. They take all that information and they put together what's called a request for a proposal. And that's where you send out to all of the different publishers or different research companies that offer different services, and they come back with a rate. And the beauty of it is we can get enough people who are interested in these different things to buy down the rate. So you're not paying like if you walked in the door and you wanted to put an ad in something. So that's beneficial. The other part about it is that we match. So like, for instance, Tom is a member of our program.
And I have to tell you, our reach throughout the state of Arizona, and more importantly, our reach through the United States.
Yes.
Our job is to help bring people to Arizona.
Exactly.
Okay, period. Grand Canyon, Southern Arizona. We want everybody to come to Arizona. And then once they're here in Arizona, then the regions go to work. And, yeah. and okay, you want to spend 2 weeks here, not 1 week.
Exactly. You know? So the KPIs or the key performance indicators in the program are obviously visitation, extended visitation. So we want you to stay longer. Just the promotion of all the different things. And this is a great opportunity for us and the entire state. We're kind of like the big tent, and then we support you guys, and then you do all the voodoo that you do.
It's a great partnering. That's what AOT is all about. It takes,
a
village. I'm thinking of that word as a town. It takes a village to promote. Now, we're going to a break, but we really, I know it was quick.
Yeah.
But I'm really glad you were here.
Of course.
And it's always a pleasure to see you. And, of course, I'm going to see you a lot over the next 2 days.
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, but thank you, okay. And I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'll be sending that RFP to you very soon.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. All righty. This is the Morning Voice, and we're here live at the Governor's Conference on Tourism. And we'll be right back at 8 o'clock, and we're going to talk to Mad Media, and we're going to talk about a wonderful Arizona magazine as well. We'll see you in just a few minutes. Well, good morning, everyone. We're back. This is our 8 o'clock hour, and we are coming to you live from the Governor's Conference on Tourism. This is an annual event where all of the folks that promote Arizona come together and we network. We have a couple meals together, have some workshops with the newest things that are going on. And I have a very fortunate guest this morning, very lucky to have Dan James here. Now, Dan works for a company that was, I guess, born in Tucson many, many years ago. And Dan took over the helm. How long ago was it now, Dan?
It'll be 8 years in April.
8 years. And it's taken it to a whole new level. And I thought that it would be great to since we just got done talking about Southern Arizona and Visit Tucson, that we hear about one of the stars in Tucson. Of course, he does a lot more business outside of Tucson these days. But Dan, it's glad you're here. Thank you for coming.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Tom. Appreciate it.
Can you tell us a little bit about who Dan is?
Well, that's a big question.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
I grew up in Nebraska, Lake Havasu City, and, you know, also I went to West Point, and the Army was a big part of my formative career that I started. And, you know, when I got out of the Army, I decided to go to work at, you know, some defense contractors.
Okay.
I started a big data and analytics firm before successfully selling that to Computer Sciences Corporation. Ended up at U of A teaching entrepreneurship at the McGuire Center.
I did not know that.
I was... Okay. It was like one of the joys of my life. I had a great experience. The kids are always fantastic and being part of that space for sure. And then from there, and was meeting with some of the entrepreneurial ecosystem folks, the Southern Arizona Leadership Conference, or Council rather, and they connected me with Kevin Madden. So from there, one conversation led to the next, and all of a sudden I was running in Madden for the last 7.5-8 years.
So, of course, being a partner of Visit Tucson, we got introduced to Kevin and Jill. Jill is Kevin's wife, Jill Madden. And we learned all the ins and outs of the magazines that they were doing. And then there was a good friend of mine named Tom Trotter from Florida. And they did, God forbid, a preprint, a newspaper insert. Now, you Gen Zs probably don't know what a newspaper insert is, okay? But we took the attractions in Southern Arizona, and we were in four, maybe five major newspapers, Chicago, New York. There's no way we're ever going to be able to afford that. And so it was a great addition to Mad Media, especially the folks that came up from Florida. That was part of the sales team, because at that time, print ruled. There was no digital stuff. There was maybe a digital, what I think we call it a digital clock, but it was really an LED read, but it wasn't really digital. But anyway, we had a great relationship, and Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance was formed back in 1999. And we needed to have a website, and we needed to have a brochure, and we needed to have an app. And all of these things were generated by Mad Media. So, you know, I'd say our business wasn't as big as Visit Tucson, but it was really nice, since our major founder and partner was Visit Tucson, that we were able to really enjoy the creativity of Mad Media. And I can remember when we were I was on the board of Visit Tucson, and we did the SWOT analysis. And the SWOT analysis said that Visit Tucson, the DMO, was the most creative DMO in our market area. And of course, guess who was doing all the creative? It was Mad Media, you know? So then you took over a very successful organization. But there's a little bit of a story behind that, and I'll tell the brief, my brief version, and then you can fill in the facts. But so Kevin wanted to expand his operation outside of the print world, and he decided we're going to do something in the digital world. Okay, nobody knew what the hell that meant, but and he tried, and we had the first digital brochure. And the magazines, of course, created the page turn software and all that kind of stuff. And then they did, the Visit Tucson wanted us to do a, the Book of Fun, which was a savings book, a call to action, kind of like a brochure. And of course we needed an app. And so where did we go? We went to Madden Media. Okay. And then of course, there, that evolved for about 5 years, GPS and all the other things that go crazy when you do a digital app. But then there, this thing called the cloud came around, okay? And that's about the time that you – was the cloud around when you joined Madden Media? Or?
The cloud's definitely been around since I've joined. But, you know, as we think about technology cycles and you talked about print and, you know, the evolution of bringing people online just on the internet, cloud computing gave people a lot more ability to – host the web servers, host websites, bring their content to people, you know, worldwide as apps grow, and then increase compute and bring all these services together, which brought in mobile compute, which, you know, gets your app out there. And today we're at a new precipice of a technology revolution where instead of thinking about compute everywhere, all the way to your home devices and, you know, what's controlling your air conditioning, to thinking about artificial intelligence everywhere, and it being embedded in everything from your, you know, phones to devices to eventually humanoid robots that will be potentially in hotels as assistance robots.
Yeah, I heard the story about the robots on Fox Network yesterday, and it was kind of a funny story about, you know, the interaction of robots with kids. Because when we were a kid, I was fascinated by the little tiny robots that you could get. And of course, there was the robot game, right, where you fought each other. Remember that game? I can't remember the name. Rockin' Sock'em Robot or something like that. And, you know, so we were kind of – and I did a TV special on against the green screen on robots – 1983, 84, somehow I got involved with producing a show about robots for the local television network in Houston. And of course the green screen helped out a lot because, you know, we had visited a lot of exotic places that we really didn't visit. But then this novelty of AI where you can actually interact, you know. And you're right. Almost all of the software that I'm using now is all, if not all of it, AI enhanced.
Right.
And now, what about in the advertising world? Now that you're a full service agency, you have over 200 folks working for you now. That's a lot of talent that you have to steer in the right direction. And you and I had a chance to talk a little bit before. We got 4 minutes left, so I think we can finish this part. Is about that's a lot of people, and their backgrounds are probably as diverse as your clients.
They certainly are, and you know, one of the things that underpinned Madden for the entire time in the CNA was really about creativity and community. How do we make sure a community is lifted up? And you know, that same DNA exists today with what we're doing across the agency. And you know, the question becomes, how do you scale that? And how do you deliver that same sort of very close connection to a community like Tucson, where we grew up and matured as an agency across the country and, you know, the destinations and communities that we work with? We do it by having these multifunctional teams that bring that strategy together, that are like having a small agency moving that's dedicated to that region or that specific area, that understands the clients, understands what assets they have, understands their visitors in a more nuanced way than what a traditional agency might look at when they think about silos or how do you fix the next trouble ticket, like when you're calling for IT support maybe in there. And I think that's really been a differentiator for us and something I learned on the military side thinking about team of teams and some of the leadership philosophy that grew up with there.
Yeah, and of course, back in our organizational classroom study, we have talked a lot about vertical versus horizontal. Military, of course, is very vertical. So you experienced the very vertical. And then now I would say looking at your website, you're the farthest thing away from vertical, even though they know who the boss is at the top. But you have all of these team leaders, and it's a very interesting website. What's your website is?
Is menmedia.com.
It's really easy. But I would encourage everybody to go to that because, it's a very clever website that it attempts, and I think it does a pretty good job, to communicate how you have organized these teams. And now, are they similar disciplines with each team, or each team has its own speciality?
We have some teams that are very much multidisciplined that have, it can do about 80% of the work that any community or client would need. And that's with graphic designers and creative and strategy that all works in their media force. And then we have some specialized teams like public relations or search engine optimization or website team that you don't necessarily always need them in support for some of those clients or projects. But we have that core support that has that depth of expertise that is able to balance both of those.
And, ways to talk about the philosophy of having synergy with everyone in one building and then the synergy with your clients by locating some of these strategic teams throughout the United States. And is there a conscious effort on where to locate your team members with your clients, or sometimes it just happens that way?
Sometimes it happens that way.
Okay.
Sometimes it's intentional. Like we're working with Duluth, Minnesota, and we hired somebody up there that runs a lot of their social content and works a lot with that team up there to understand that community in a deeper way and be more connected to what that community is, because that helps us tell their story and unlock some of those that are out there in some ways at a lower cost, right? And where we are able to put the person up there and she's able to work for them as well as other clients that is supporting it versus us thinking about having to fly in there. And every time you fly somewhere and go to a location, it's actually more expensive than what it is. So a distributed workforce allows us to be closer to clients, be closer to where their visitors are coming from, and have a better nuanced view than a bias that we might have sitting here in one particular location or a couple of regional headquarters.
Well, the key is the client is the boss in a sense, and if they want face-to-face meetings, you'll be there. If they want to do a Zoom meeting, but it's a mixture now. I think the word hybrid has been overused, but that's really what it's all about, is whatever the needs are of the client, and certainly ad campaigns, dictate that. Well, I really appreciate you coming and spending some time. Mad Media has been part of the SAAA for, now, since 1999. I miss you from the building, but I learned yesterday where you live, and you're near a little bit of heaven where your house is. And I can appreciate the fact that you can look out the window and see the horses roaming and whatever or in that area. And it really gives you a kind of a calming effect with all the stress that you have with 200 plus and all the clients. And now clients aren't demanding, are they? We love clients. So, well, thank you again. Appreciate it. Have a great show. And I hope to see you in the community a lot more.
Awesome.
All right, take care. All right. Well, this is The Morning Voice, and we'll be right back. We have two guests coming up. It's going to be interesting. We're not going to have a competition here, guys, but they're sitting here anxiously waiting to be on the Morning Voice with Tom Moulton. So we'll be right back, and we're live from the Governor's Conference on Tourism. All right, are we back? And this is all righty. We're back, and this is live radio here, guys. Okay. And I have two of my best friends here that promote the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance throughout the state and actually beyond the state, because you have subscribers all over the world. as well as you, and with the World Wide Web, as we used to.
Sure.
Does anybody use WW anymore? over here is Chris Newton, and over here is Cindy Turr, and they have wonderful marketing vehicles. I think we probably have used your publication. Now, have you only had one publication over the years as the publisher, or have you had several?
Well, we also have a publication in Dallas-Fort Worth that we currently have.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And you, how long have you been around doing this stuff?
We've been Go Arizona and Go Travel Sites. We started in 1996.
Oh, really? 96. Oh, okay.
Yeah, right when the internet started up.
Ah. Now, before we get into the detail, we have a small thing to do, but it's a big thing for our listening audience. And Tim Bimmerstedt, are you there, sir? Is Tim still on the phone?
I am here.
All right, Timmy. You're up now. We didn't do it quite at 8 o'clock, but can you share with us, Tim is the co-host of our show, and those two big events that you, you'd like to tell us about, can you share that with our 8 o'clock listening audience?
Absolutely. And good morning to everybody. Well,
if
we
you
have.
I remember nine. Tim Bimmerstedt. I don't know if you remember Tim. Tim was the marketing director of Desert Museum. He was my director of sales.
Sure.
Yeah. So you remember Tim. So we have Cindy here from this wonderful publication called, what do you call it? The Drive. The Drive Guide. You got a copy of
Arizona Drive Guide.
Arizona Drive Guide, quarterly publication.
Quarterly.
And, Catherine, you remember Catherine Strickland? She's the one who I think introduced me to you, you know, or did I?
No,
you
no.
On your own? How did that happen?
I think you and I met at a function and was way before Catherine.
Before
yeah,
Catherine?
Before
there wasn't
Catherine.
Before
yeah.
Catherine.
There wasn't before Catherine.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah.
You know?
So we go back 30 years.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and I've aged, but the lady next to me hasn't aged at all. Let me tell you. This guy over here, I don't know. I mean, you know. But so, Timmy, go ahead, man. We want to hear about those two events because we want to let people know where to go this weekend.
Well, Pima Air and Space is gearing up for what they now call Night Ops at the Pima Air and Space Museum. It's a summer evening program. It's Saturdays. It used to be called Night Wings, but it's transforming to include both the Pima Air and Space Museum and the Tucson Military Vehicle Museum. And they've now rolled the 390th Museum into that, where you can see a fully restored B-17. And on July 26th is going to be their last night ops, and you can actually take a tour of the Orbis Flying Eye Hospital, which is just fascinating. One of my favorite places. And then also we have cool summer nights at the Desert Museum, taking place every Saturday night from 7 to 10, and just gives you a great opportunity to enjoy the desert in a cool environment. The animals are active. Great team of docents come out and volunteer to give animal demonstrations, and just a fabulous program, and that runs through the end of August. And also, I want to mention one more thing, this Discovery Nights at the Tucson Children's Museum. It's a free program, happens every Thursday during the summer. And they have science, art, story times, and pop-up science experiments. And that runs Thursdays, so tonight, through 7 p.m. So if you want to...
Great.
Beat the heat, get out and enjoy the Children's Museum Tucson. So be sure to go to thisistucson.com and visit tucson.org to learn more about these events and many, many others.
Okay, well, thank you, Tim. We, you know, you and I need to get out and go see the Philippine Mars air flight over there at Pimaren Space.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah, and we definitely also need to do that.
Talking to Nikki about Route 66, do you remember the TV show?
Get your kicks on Route 66, or that was their slogan? Was there a TV show named that, too? Or
it turns out you have a friend of over 30 years with a fleet of Corvettes, and that's what they drove around Route 66. So I smell a road trip.
Yeah, for the owner of two, two Corvettes still?
Still, yes.
All right. Well, you got one of those for me, don't you?
Yeah, I
can't even fit.
Up.
I can't even fit in a Corvette anymore. I can fit and I compress, but to get out, it's hard to decompress. So, thank you, Tim. All right. So we're here again with Chris Newton and Cindy Turr, and you know, great publication on one end and a digital publication on another end. But it all works together, doesn't it? Because you're all leading to a website, or you now have narrative in there. You have a digital presence on the guide. But you've been a publisher for how long?
30 years.
30 years. You were just a baby.
I know. I'm like 39. So.
Yeah, I understand that, and your grammar is still good, right?
Yes.
All right, okay. Do you have a Spanish version yet?
Not yet.
Okay, all right. Yeah. No, you do it, but it is on the web, right?
Yes.
You got the old page-turner software.
And
I think Mad Media created that, actually.
Did they?
Many years ago.
I'm not surprised.
Ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know, for some reason, we fell in love with each other because we got I think you fell in love with Southern Arizona, but not necessarily Tom Moulton. But we definitely, over the years, and, if you go quarterly publications, okay, times 30 years, that's 120, am I doing my math?
Right.
120 magazines. And we were in, what do you think, 8 or 9 covers over the years? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And beautiful photography, and certainly we had an opportunity to provide limited but narrative, right to the point. And I think you helped edit the stuff I sent you until Catherine came around, and then she was Miss Grammar, so she really got elevated everything that we did graphically and whatever. But I have to tell you, our wall of fame was everybody saw it and they were very impressed. And it really fits just as me being reintroduced to Go Arizona is that we're working with Jamie Dare, from the advertising manager of Arizona Office of Tourism. And what we're trying to do is really get well more known in the state. So we're going to be back. Can you guys stick around for about 10 more minutes or so?
Sure.
All right. And this is The Morning Voice, and I'm here with two of my best friends, Chris and Cindy, and we're talking about the Arizona Tourism Department, and we're live. See you guys in a few minutes. Who's doing that anymore? But we're talking about Pinal County. All right, we're back on. All righty. Remember, we're live now, so we don't necessarily have all of the tools. So thank you, Mr. Producer. So we're live. Right now from the Arizona Conference on Tourism. It's an annual event. And I'm here on this guy over here, Chris, and this lady over here named Cindy. And we're talking about really publications and digital platforms promoting the state of Arizona throughout the, let's say world, but predominantly national, with their publications and their marketing platforms. And the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance has been involved extensively with the Arizona Drive Guide with this quarterly publication. We talked before the break, we had maybe 8 or 9 covers. We haven't had one lately, though, have we?
No, you actually.
We did it with Cindy.
Every year, I give you guys the contract.
Okay. All right.
Now, because you've been advertising so long.
Right. Yeah, and we're part of the rural co-op program.
Correct.
Which Jamie just talked about earlier today, and that has really helped the smaller destinations. And we're going to be talking with Eric here in just a few minutes. From Casa Grande in Pinal County. We got to make sure that we people know it's right above Marana. You know, actually parts of Marana are in Pinal County, right? Okay, so Eric just joined us. He'll be on the screen and on the radio in about 10 minutes. But we've been really enjoyed working with both of you guys. And so you got maybe 5 minutes so we can get Eric on, but tell us a little bit about how the publication, has changed to the digital world, the Times.
Sure. Yeah. So when we started out, of course, everything was even on a SyQuest disc. I mean, the internet and emailing wasn't even a big thing then. So
what's the internet? Oh, yeah. You're going to talk about internet. Okay. All right. Okay.
So, you know, you evolve with the times, right? So digital is a great way to reach people. People want to know what to do, what to see, how to get there, all of those things, even before they come to Arizona. So we have our magazine is available digitally as well as in print, physically handed out to car rental agencies. That's why print is important for us. We also have an eGuide newsletter that's monthly, and we now have over 10,000 subscribers. So
fantastic.
That's really grown. We've done an app. We just try to keep up social platforms, digital as well as print. So
yeah, the way we measure things is different. You know, Dan was just on from Mad Media, and they've. He brought the digital world really to Mad Media, which was basically a publishing outfit, you know, with John Hudak, you know, and they had several magazines, a golf magazine and, you know, lifestyle magazines and so on and so forth. That's probably the wrong name, Tucson Guide, which is actually continuing, now under a new ownership. But there's still folks that like to sit and read, believe it or not.
Right.
Other than on the phone. And I think magazines like brochures are not necessarily meant to be read from cover to cover in one night. Okay. And they have their favorite magazine, whether they have it on their den or that other stool area. It's, you know, and it's photography still has a lot to do with it.
Sure, absolutely.
And you know, so it gives you a little bit break from the video world. Right. And, you know, I mean, we all strive to be like Arizona highways, don't we? I mean, that is probably the best beautiful pictures.
Absolutely.
But everything's gotten better because of Arizona highways. Now, going over here to the digital world, did you start with Go Arizona? Did you? How did you guys come about?
Yeah, we started back in '96, and we started our first website was GoUtah.com.
GoUtah. That's why you know the Van Wangle people.
Yep. Go,
okay.
And then Go Arizona was our second domain that we bought, and then. Now we have a domain for every state in the country.
So were you able to buy them all?
Yeah.
Or did you have to purchase a lot of them?
No, we bought them all. This is back in 97, 96.
You were one of those guys that went out and bought Visit Los Angeles, whatever. You just put the word go. We were talking about Visit Tucson doesn't have visittucson.com.
Right.
They have Visit Tucson.org. Every once in a while in a board meeting, when I was a board member for 12, so have you bought it yet?
Yeah.
And it's like every time you say that, the value goes up.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, so Go Arizona, you've been involved now how long?
We've been in Arizona working. We work with the state of Arizona and a lot of DMOs, destination marketing organizations, and we've been since 98 is when I think the domain officially released, but we're one of the largest travel guides in Arizona where you can actually look for all the destinations, recreation. We're kind of recreation focused, a lot of trails, a lot of national parks, all the state parks are featured on the site. And so really we're a travel planning site, and we're people find us organically on Google. So when you type in keywords in Google, we right. come up at various types of keywords. That's how people find it.
Now, this isn't necessarily a sales pitch to Eric, who's sitting off camera right now, but there, when we were with you, okay, 60% of our organic, website hits was from Go Arizona and Visit Tucson.org, about a 30-30. And then because Visit Tucson promotes so much, we decided to try the passport promotion. And we were selling a lot of passports.
Yeah.
And that was before we went digital.
Yeah.
And now Mab Media introduced a digital passport, and now it's Dan Wango that's here, has a booth.
Yeah.
And I don't know, we'll talk with Eric in a few minutes about some of this new technology that's helping us do a better job. Of course, we can take all the credit, right, Eric? So, you know, because we found this technology, right? Well, you know, that was Eric. Well, we really, two revelations, and this helps out, Eric, is that we expanded the DMO network, which means you now get to partner with Arizona Office of Tourism.
Yep.
So you are a partner. You've been a partner for a long time, right?
Yep.
And you're now in the rural
co-op.
Hallelujah. That's going to save me money.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is great.
Long time.
And now, one of these days, I think we'll have the budget where we could spend that entire $50,000, but not necessarily on Go Arizona.
Yeah.
We really would love to go. We used to be, back in the day, full page, weren't we, with Pima County? Or,
And so
I had a bigger budget then.
Yeah.
You know, and I had a great advertising creative person, you know, we're still there. I don't know if she's here. Have you seen her?
Yes, I did. I just saw her.
Okay.
In here, yeah.
You know, so I have to tell you, we are live here from the Arizona conference on tourism, when we get to see all these wonderful people that we only really see maybe once or twice a year, and we're all in good moods, right?
Yeah,
okay. You're in a good mood. Eric, you're in a good mood, you know?
Yeah.
Eric's got a booth, so he's meeting all kinds of new people. We're really enjoying being able to broadcast live, because a lot of people don't know that the Arizona Office of Tourism, or the promotion, quite frankly, of folks coming to Arizona wouldn't really be the same unless we had a strong relationship with people that are promoting their region. And it's really not just about promoting Southern Arizona, because we want the folks in Grand Canyon to travel south and hit Casa Grande before they hit Tucson. Okay, and it's okay if they spend the night in Casa Grande, and it's okay if they, you know, decide to go south. When people create a vacation in Tucson, we know they go north, okay, because that's where the Grand Canyon is and all the things in Casa Grande and Flagstaff, but they don't always go south if they start at, you know, at Grand Canyon. And, you know, so we're all working together to make sure that, that sharing of information and relationship building takes place. And I think, you know, this radio show, and also now on YouTube and Facebook, is really helping us grow as an organization. And we have ambitions to be able to promote the entire state, all the attractions. But, you know, in some of the areas, it needs a little TLC, because we're all fierce competitors. And for some reason, Northern Arizona and Southern Arizona has come together in partnership with all the attractions. And I'm now Van Wango, and we're working on the Phoenix area.
Mm-hmm.
Highly competitive between Phoenix and Scottsdale and Mesa and Tempe, and I could go on and on about You know, so bringing everybody in partnership is what it's all about. So these are two of my favorite partners. My next partner is coming up here in just a few minutes. And I want to thank you all for being here on my show, the morning. And we'll see you in the show, and we'll see you at the banquet tonight. And so thank you. And this is the Morning Voice. And it's time for me to turn it back over to the producer, and we'll see you in just a few minutes. Eric's going to be up here from the city of Casa Grande, and which is like right smack in the middle between Phoenix and Tucson. So we'll be right back. All right, we're back here, and we're live again, you know, from the Governor's Conference on Tourism. And I have a wonderful new guy, been here a year and 3 days from what I heard. You were here last year, and
it was in August.
Right.
Basically at month 11.
Okay, month 11.
Yeah,
that's
August
right.
Will be my.
I forgot they changed it to August.
Yeah.
You were only on board for about a few days, right?
My third day.
And they're here now with a Pinal County / Casa Grande Chamber of Commerce tourism booth.
Correct.
And they're getting and it's all about relationships and partnerships.
Absolutely.
And I think you made the smart move to be here. It takes a little extra work. You don't get a chance to do all the things you want
and
to do.
I take credit. It's really Michelle Carpenter with Pinal County Economic.
Now, Michelle Carpenter is fairly new as well.
She is. She's about a year into it. Yeah.
Okay. I hope she's not mad that I invite her to come on.
I don't.
But tell her we miss her.
We will.
And
she's here.
We're going to have her back on the show, both of you, where we can spend a whole hour talking about how Pinal County is moving into tourism, and that just supports you as well.
Yeah.
So Michelle, if you hear this, we're going to have you back. So Eric, so you've been on the show, but I was out of town, and I have to tell you, and I just want to sentences about. So when we were up in Casa Grande talking to the RV parks, there was one of the things that the RV parks were telling us, why are you not promoting more of the attractions in Casa Grande, okay, in the Book of Funk, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we said, there's no reason, okay? We didn't have the contacts up there, but that's not an excuse, okay? Absolutely. And because you're just right up the street, you know, Pinal County is a very large county, and we do have the Arizona Zip Line and the Biosphere, but they're on like the other side of Pinal. Not people know that it's a very wide county.
It is a very wide county, and you know, just so the Biosphere 2 and the Zip Line are both in Pinal County, within Pinal County.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They are
right at the edge, and so yeah. Pinal County is very widespread. For those of you who don't know, it's the county in between Maricopa County, which is in Phoenix, and then Pima County, which is the Tucson area. So we're right between Phoenix and Tucson.
Yeah, and you know, we want to make sure we don't have a lot of time, but we want to make sure that what now you've been there 11 months. What are the favorite things you like to do, and more in particular, what are the things that you love to promote to come to Casa Grande? Because you're already strategically located halfway between Phoenix and Tucson, and you have a lot of folks that stay in your RV park, so they figured it out, right?
Yeah.
I have them both worlds. But what are some of the things that you have found that were probably marketed before you got there?
Well, I mean, location, I think, definitely was unmarketed. You kind of hit it on the spot. We are the middle grounds between the two. You were talking earlier on the show about, you know, if people come and they stay in Tucson, they're going north. But if they stay in Grand Canyon, they may not come south.
That's right.
Well, so obviously I'm here for Casa Grande, but all of Pinal County really is the middle ground between the Phoenix and the Northern Arizona territory and Southern and Tucson area. So why not make the Casa Grande area your home base for your week-long stay in Arizona, where you can go north, south, east, or west, still come back to some fine dining and great restaurants.
And you have the infrastructure, especially the RV industry.
Absolutely.
You have some of the finest and largest RV parks in the state.
Yeah.
And, And now we just need to work with them in partnership, and I'm sure you're getting to know all of them.
Oh, absolutely,
now,
yeah.
And say, okay, here's some things now to promote. First, we allow you to promote what's in our market.
Sure.
But we also like you to promote south and maybe a little bit north, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully more south. but because you are the home territory. Mm-hmm. You're staying in Casa Grande. Mm-hmm. You have restaurants to eat here. But, you know, sometimes it's good to venture out.
Yeah. And there's, you know, so I experience CasaGrande.com is really the website. It's our tourist website, if you will. It's like your visit to Tucson or your visit Phoenix.
Yeah, and you've used Explore now, right? Explore?
No, it's Experience
Casa Grande. Experience Casa Grande. Okay.
Grande.com.
Congrats. I'm glad we got that yeah. out of the way. Yeah.
And so that is promoting not just Casa Grande, right. but the immediate area, you know, the cities of Coolidge and Eloy and Florence and beyond that, all the way down, really all of Pinal County, and then part into the southern and also into the northern parts.
Yeah, I would say that Casa Grande and Pinal County were a little bit late to the game.
Yeah.
But now you're playing catch up.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the economic development gentleman, Tim, and he started it and with a fine agency. You now have a visitor guide,
mm-hmm.
Pinal County, so you can read a lot more about what's going on.
Absolutely.
You now have your own destination marketing office through the Casa Grande Chamber of Commerce,
correct?
Which you are an employee of, mm-hmm. but you are now officially the DMO, you know, and yeah. you work hand in glove with Pinal County, who now has a second job.
Mm-hmm.
The second job, but as you know, tourism is economic development.
It is.
It's the driver.
It is, yeah. And that's where...
And it drives the state.
And Michelle Carpenter does a great job, and she's, you know, she's really taken a hold of that role and with the economic side as well as the tourism side.
Yeah, you wanted to make sure that, you know, it continues, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know it was a short visit,
sure, no.
but we're going to have you and Pinal County back.
Absolutely.
And we're the Morning Voice, and we've been talking live from the Governor's Conference on Tourism
yeah.
with great folks like Eric Schneider.
Yeah, another two for me. It's a great time.
Yeah, it was glad you're here. We're going to be back next Thursday, but thank you again for listening. And we're live from the Arizona Governor's Conference on Tourism, and we'll see you next week.